This is CES Tech Talk. I'm James Kotecki, bringing you something special, a media roundtable conversation recorded live at CES 2026. We brought together some of the brightest media minds to discuss the tech trends that will improve how we live and work. So if you work and or live, this one's for you. Enjoy.
All right, welcome everyone to one of our media panels. Welcome to CES 2026, first off, day one. Show floor has officially opened, obviously right behind us. So very excited to kick this off with a panel with some of our media partners. So I'd love to just introduce myself. My name's Lauren Fohr. I'm a manager with our CES communications team. This is my fifth CES, and I'll tell you, every single one has been different, which is kind of part of the fun. And I think some of the things that we'll be talking about on stage is how that's changed over the years, the trends that we've seen, the technology that we've seen, and how that's changed our lives. So this panel is a deep dive into tech that will change lives. I like to say tech for good, which is about solving world problems. How is what we're seeing here at CES translating into the future of our lives and then solving those issues for us? Tech, I think personally, takes care of the things that we need to do so that we ourselves can focus on the things that we want to do. And that for me is something that I know I want someone to do my laundry and I want someone to clean my bathroom so that I can have more time to sleep and that I can have more time to play tennis and work out and do the things that really enrich my life. Want to talk a little bit about CES? Innovation really comes to life here at CES. We see verticals across digital health, AI, robotics, mobility, energy. We're here with, I think it's 2.6 million of square footage across the show floor. That is a massive show floor. So we want to talk a little bit again about those trends that you're going to see. You're going to get some advice as well about whether it's your first CES, your fifth CES. I heard today that there's a woman here who it's her 57th CES. I'm very interested to meet her. I'd like to give her a medal or a hug or maybe like a bed to sleep in. So I would love for our panelists to introduce themselves. And if you guys could also say what number CES this is for you, that'd be great.
Hi, I'm Sherlyn. I'm the managing editor at Engadget. This is my 12th CES. And yeah, everyone, like you said, is different. I remember the one right before COVID. I remember the all digital one, the one where it flooded. And
yes, I remember that one as well.
So yeah, that's me.
Hi, I'm Nicole Pepantonio. I'm the director of the Kitchen Appliances Lab at the Good Housekeeping Institute. And this is actually my second CES, but I've been covering it from afar before that.
So you liked it so much year one, you said, I'll do this again.
Yes, and it's gotten better.
Hello, Happy New Year. This is Tan Kang from Joseon Daily Newspaper in Korea. Actually, I'm based in Silicon Valley as a correspondent, and this is my very first CES.
Woohoo! Welcome to CES, year one for you. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. I would love to start off, since we're talking about trends, I'd love to talk about what trend you're most excited to cover this week, what you've kind of been waiting to do when you get to CES. It's like the countdown. So now that the show floor is open, what trend are you most excited to cover? So Sherlyn, I'll start with you.
I feel bad because I all three of you have under like a single digit CES, right? So excitement's not a word that comes easily to me. I will say the trends I've noticed this year and over the last few years, you know, more AI, more robots and everything. But I think this year there's a sense that the robots are getting a bit more helpful in the home. We're seeing a lot of humanoid robots. Before they were doing like some weird things here and there. There was the Boston Dynamics dog that would like jump about and that sort of thing. Or the last year there were RoboVacs that would like lift a sock out of its way.
I still want that one though.
We all want those. They were climbing stairs last year. This year they've got legs. They've got legs. And we're seeing humanoid robots. Those have legs. Yeah. They have arms. They've got robots that will fold your laundry for you. I think we're seeing just the ideas that were exciting at the start become a bit more practical in the real world. And I think that excites me a bit more. But I'm curious to hear what the newer people to see is like.
So you just mentioned it. It's what I'm excited about. We cover a lot of lifestyle at Good Housekeeping. So AI being incorporated into people's lives really without them even realizing it. So the advances of making your life easier at home. So a lot of wellness and tracking things you didn't know you needed. And it's really effortless and seamless. And then maintaining your house again with the robot vacs and also childcare and pet care and the new robot vac that can monitor your pets when you're away. These are all really things that'll help consumers live easier lives and easy to use. And that's really what's important to me.
I saw a wearable for your pet, your dog, and I immediately thought, I want to know how many steps my dog does in a day.
Yeah, I'll add to that. The biggest theme is undeniably physical AI robots. And yeah, robot was a big deal at the last CES also. But I think there are some, it's going to be more clear and obvious. I'd like to highlight two key points of that stands out this year. First thing is a robot is not just a technology confined in labs or just be showcased in the exhibitions. It's ready to be deployed and experienced at home and also in manufacturing facilities. And second thing is that robot is not just a tool to help people. It's a companion, kind of like friends and our different kinds of family members now. They can not only do some mundane, boring tasks given by person passively, they can actively think, memorize, and prioritize the task now. So it's really evolving as a personal assistant and some kind of family members.
I love that you brought that up in terms of personal companion. Something that I saw at Unveiled on Sunday is a personal companion. It's a dog. And it is...
Was it the Tombot?
The Tombot. And I actually, it was here last year at CES. I see we have also a companion in the audience. But it was made for his mother who has dementia. And that was, she wanted to be able to have a pet. She wanted to have something. And now that's realistic. And I think saying to what you said, Sherilyn, which was, we have had robots here before, and now they seem like they're more obtainable. Something that you would bring into your home, something that, you know, doesn't seem as sci-fi or as transformer or, you know, something that is, again, more even friendly. Like you'd see it in your everyday life. It would be more expected to see. So great answers, guys. And I wanted to then transition a little bit those trends. We talked a little bit about companionship. Any examples or anything that you guys have seen and just been excited about in how that technology, then those trends have transitioned into real life and changed people's lives. And so, Sherilyn, I'll start with you again.
For the longest time, I've been saying I don't think humanoid robots need to be developed. I think that, you know, when you think about why we want robots around, we want them to help with repetitive tasks. And robots that are built in a humanoid form, in my mind, aren't so helpful with, you know, in the manufacturing spaces and the assembly line spaces. We want something that's just doing one thing over and over. And so the human shape, we don't need that, right? But then when I see the humanoids that are helping you load your laundry at home, then I'm like, oh, I get now why it needs legs and arms.
Right.
Because it might need to squat to do the bottom, you know, machine and then reach for the top, you know, the laundry detergent at the top or something. That's kind of how I see it coming into the real lives of people at home. I think we've seen robots in the real world, but more in industrial spaces. And then I am quite hesitant, though, to think about robots and AI as like personal companions, because I do worry about people then developing relationships with these artificial things and not real life things. I do say the Tombot thing that you brought up reminded me of this thing I saw was a robot pet for people who can't have pets.
Right.
I can have pets. I choose not to have pets because they might die or they might poop. And
possible.
A robot won't. And so that to me is something I want. I want a pet that won't poop or that I had to clean up after.
Nicole.
And when you were asking about robots, it's not robots per se, but a lot of the toys that we're seeing and how they're going to the next level and really promoting independent play with kids, I think that's really neat because they are more advanced than we are. My 5-year-old nephew knows how to operate my phone probably better than I do. So to see more of that and them learning and just who knows what their skills are going to be when they're 10 years older.
Yeah, absolutely. Something I saw at Media Days, Lego, obviously.
I want to say.
Yeah, just debuted the Smart Brick and getting to see how that would. At first, I was like, I don't know how Legos and technology go together. But after watching that presentation, I was like, I want to play with that. That is something, just learning how the kids would interact, how that would change. Like you said, they know more than we do. Like, how does that change as they go forward and then into school and into jobs? And so it's very cool to think about. Dawn?
Yeah, I saw so many home robots at CES 2026, and I'd like to share one of my episodes. Many people are now very worried about losing their jobs by AI, but I know one person who really wants to be replaced by robots and AI. That's my mom. Yeah, she really wants to be freed from her housework, and I think my mom's dream can be true in the near future. And yeah, there are so many how robot can do household chores, and they also can count the number if I do some squat or dumbbell lifts at home. So yeah, it's very incredible. And I think that technology can make a direct impact to consumer who really want to be free from household chores. And also, I feel like buying that AI home robots, it's not just buying technology, it's rather like buying some quality of life and freedom from the household.
Yeah, I like that perspective of saying it's improving your quality. You're choosing to implement something, a tool, something to make your life better, to give you time to focus on something else. Nicole, I'd love to ask you, I think from the home space, smart home, obviously, there's so much going on that we're implementing again to kind of make some of those chores easier, free up some of our time. I wanted to ask, how have you seen over the years how tech has entered into that space and how coverage then has changed as we look at tech entering the home? Mm-hmm.
So we said it a little bit before, but I feel like finally the tech that people have been talking about for years is finally coming true. It's really amazing to see these fridges, for example, being able to recognize your food. And you always wondered, like, do I need a camera in there? But until you're actually experiencing it and seeing how it could serve you better by like, oh, you have random broccoli. This is a recipe you can use. You might not be using that recipe exactly, but it's just something to spark a new idea. So it's amazing. And then in terms of how we're covering it, people understand it more. It's becoming way more mainstream than it ever was. If we're talking about a smart TV or a smart fridge, people kind of expect that now, and it's just integrated into their lives without them having to try really hard. So it's fun. Like, we can actually talk about tech in a way that everybody understands, and it's just easier for us.
Yeah. And we were all speaking actually before this panel a little bit about how tech has changed our lives. And I think specifically, for at least I'll say for me as a woman, it's given me a sense of security in a lot of different ways. Things that just I don't have to think about them. They don't take up my mind as much. Having sensors on your windows, or even I saw there's a new wearable where you just clip it to your belt. And when you're running and you're in the zone, you have your AirPods in, you're listening to Taylor Swift or whoever, maybe even Gwen Stefani, possibly. You know, it alerts you if someone's coming up behind you. And that just, for me, that is such a small change, but it really does make a difference in my quality of life. So I have another question for you guys. Again, I know the show floor has just opened, but I did want to ask if you guys have a part of CES that you think attendees or specifically media can't miss. Like, what would you guys, and I'll say, what do you not want to miss this year? Since obviously this is the first year of being here. If there's anything that you're like, I came here and I'm on a mission and this is the one thing I will not, like, I'll wait in line all night for this.
Actually, I did not expect to see some development of quantum computing system at CES 2026, because there are still some skepticisms about quantum computing systems. Many people think it's very hard to be commercialized in the near future, but I saw and experienced so many products and services powered by quantum computing system at CES 2026, and especially in cybersecurity sector, so don't miss it.
If you are interested in that, that's such a good transition. A new program we have this year is CES Foundry, which is taking place at FoundBlue on Wednesday and Thursday, which is we're bringing AI community, quantum, all in the same sphere. There's going to be a lot of thought leadership, a lot of session speaking. Like you said, it doesn't seem as applicable. So talking what the next couple of years and how that then becomes integrated. So definitely would recommend checking that out as well. Nicole, do you have anything that you would advise for?
For me, it's really walking around and seeing all these things in our inbox come to life. Like, we get pitched a lot of products every day. And a colleague yesterday was talking about, like, this is real life. So getting to see what people are excited about, because that also is a hint to me of like what people want to be reading about and what we should be covering.
Awesome. Sherilyn?
So first of all, this central hall that we're in right now looks so different from it.
Beautiful.
Last year, even. Yeah. Used to be a lot darker. Now there's a lot of bright lights. But central hall also used to be the place you cannot miss, because it had the Samsung VR roller coastery things, the little simulation rides. They had the LG like display canyon of screens sort of thing. I think that's still here somewhere. So I would check out LG's booth. And then Eureka Park is usually a good go-to. That's over at the Venetian. That's where a lot of the startups are, a lot of the health and fitness things are. And those usually feel more personally applicable, right? I think health and fitness are topics that are close to most of our hearts, regardless of whether you
are fit. And then finally, I have to say, I think you mentioned, you teased or hinted at this, Gwen Stefani. I believe if you can get tickets, you should try to go to the Sphere at some point, because from everything I've heard, it just sounds like such a great performance venue to be. I won't be able to make it, unfortunately. So don't go looking for me.
Someone will get your ticket, though.
Yes, exactly.
I love that you brought up Eureka Park. It's actually for Gary Shapiro. It's he talks about it all the time. And like you said, it's kind of more that personalized, a lot of these conceptions coming to life. And it's people who, again, like coming back to our main theme, they're solving problems for people. They have an idea. They say, how do I make someone's life better, my life better? What? How can tech help us do something? And they create this. And for me, that's one of my favorite parts, because you also see not only just a level of passion, excitement. And so I definitely would second that is Eureka Park. All right. And I think the last question I would have for you guys is, as media, seasoned media, not just at CES, but a lot of you guys cover a lot of things. You guys have to be savvy. You have to get there on time. What is one tip you would give for attendees or media at CES? Sherilyn, I'll start with you.
I think we were just talking about this backstage. Hydrate, drink a lot of water, get sleep if you can. We were talking about how to solve for, like, eat some good stuff instead of picking at what's out here.
Yeah, right.
Because there's not a lot of good options. I would say eat your vegetables.
It's true. Perfect. Yeah, get carbs are great, but they're going to make you sleepy. So get some vegetables.
Yeah, you definitely get your steps in. So just like fuel up.
Right.
Yeah. And cool. That's my advice too. Have a good meal. Make sure to eat. Don't get to that point that you're ready to pass out, because you will.
It does take a little bit of time to get to venue to venue, and you got to build in kind of like, great, I have half an hour. Oh, I only have 10 minutes actually. And Dawn, we'll end with you.
I'm totally agree with it, you guys. And as a woman journalist, and we are all women now, and I really recommend to check some beauty tech devices and something like that.
That's my next appointment.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Can't tell you what it is.
Because there are so many like skin boost devices powered by AI, and some mirrors and some hair dryers also powered by AI. So, you know, the tech industry has traditionally dominated by like men. So we should check some beauty techs and some technologies for women.
Love that. Absolutely. The tech, we talked about this as well. Just like tech, I think as a history has had a standard of men being like the bottom of the line of what they're testing for. It's wonderful to see that now women are being included in that. And now there's tech that's specifically for women. Thank you so much.
And if you're here at CES and you're a woman, go to the bathrooms. It's such a magical experience.
Yes.
To not wait in line.
1,000%. Much shorter line. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much to our speakers. And thank you guys for participating. I hope everybody has a great CES 2026.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that roundtable from CES 2026. That's our show for now, but there's always more tech to talk about. Make sure you catch all the other CES media roundtables for how technology will impact consumers, global markets, and the year ahead. Whatever channel you're on right now, be sure to follow, subscribe, like, comment, whatever else you need to do to keep those algorithms happy. You can get even more CES at ces.tech. That's ces.tech. Our show is produced by Nicole Vidovich and Paige Morris, and edited by Third Spoon. I'm James Kotecki, talking tech on CES Tech Talk.